Proverbs chapter number 18 this morning. We're going to read one verse, number 24, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the message. But Proverbs chapter 18 in verse number 24, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Let's go ahead and pray this morning. One more time, just ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for getting us here safely. Thank you for the health to be here this morning. Lord, I ask that you would just, you'd have your hand on the message now. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for the skit and the song by the few of the children. Lord, thank you just for using them and teaching them, Lord, to use their talents for you. And you've given them to us, and to be able to give them back to you and to use them to be a blessing. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for all those that are here this morning. And Lord, I pray that the message this morning would be one that would be glorifying to you and honoring unto you, that you would get praise from it, that the hearts here this morning, Lord, would be turned towards you, meaning that they're ready to receive what you have for them. Lord, so that it is not just a, this isn't just a speech, Lord, but there is something spiritual that's happening. You know, the power of your Holy Spirit is taking the words from my mouth and the pure words of God and moving on our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would do that. Lord, I ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. But when we left here this morning and walked out the doors this morning, we would know that you have been here and that you met with us and you have done something. Lord, now we would be better soldiers and servants for you. Allow praise for what you've done for us to be on our lips. And we'll thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 18:24. We'll read it again. The Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." I'm going to preach on the topic of a good friend this morning. A good friend. Now, this idea that we don't need friends in this life is unhealthy for the Christian. And I mentioned this a little bit last week when we were talking about a different topic, but there is this idea of you can do it alone and you can go through this life and you don't need to have anybody else. And all my friends are going to be everybody that agrees 100% with me, and anybody else in my life, I'm just going to cast them aside. They're not important. And this idea of our friendships and the friendship that we have towards other people and that they have toward us, it's important in this life, this idea of having friends. We have a responsibility to be a good friend. And so there's going to be double application as I speak on many of these things this morning, is the idea of we need to be careful on who we choose as our closest friends. And we also need to be friends that we should be. We should be looking for good friends, and we should be good friends to others. This Christian life, it certainly has times when you need to stand or serve God alone. There are going to be times where you're going to be put in a position or in isolation of some sort where you're going to have to stand for God on your own. If you're saved and born again, Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you put your faith and trust in Him alone for salvation, then He's your Savior and He desires for you to speak for Him, to stand for Him, to serve Him, and there's going to be times when you have to do it alone. When your closest friends aren't going to be there, when it's not going to be just a phone call fixes everything, you're going to have to stand with you and the Lord and do what's right by yourself. And that's a little bit uncomfortable. But most of this Christian life, through the local church especially, most of your Christian life can be serving God with friends. With friends. There is a quote that says, "I didn't find my friends, God gave them to me." And the longer you go in this life, and listen, I'm not talking about, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm not talking about a social media friend. I'm not talking about a generic term of someone you barely know who clicks a little button on some picture that you put up there. All right, we're talking about friends. We're talking about real friends. People that you say, they are my friend, and they say the same about you. And so that's the kind of friend we're talking about. As this life continues to go on, and the longer things go on, and the more that happens in this life, you find out that maybe you didn't have as many friends as you thought you once had. When things get a little difficult, and when you take a stand for the Lord, you start to find out that those friends that were there with you are no longer there with you. And so it's important in this life to pay attention to the friends that we have and the people that we surround ourselves with. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a majority of the New Testament. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 19, there's this big uproar at Ephesus, and Paul's come and preached the gospel there, and those at Ephesus are idol worshipers, and everyone's getting all worked up, right? Especially those that were making money by selling idols. And when those turn from idols to serve the living God, they say, we don't need the idols, we don't need the false gods anymore, because we serve the one and true God. And so there's a big uproar going on in Ephesus, and they all run into this big Colosseum stadium, and they run in there, and they're all up in arms about what's going on. And Paul wants to go in, and he wants to go in there and set the record straight, right? Paul says, hey, what better chance than to preach the gospel to an angry mob, right? And that was just like Paul. If you read your New Testament, you read the book of Acts, he was like, I'm ready to go. And the Bible says, though, that he had some friends. They were the chief of Asia, the Bible says. And this is Asia Minor, but the chief of Asia, they were his friends, and they come to Paul and they say, don't go in there, Paul. Things are a little out of control in there. You don't need to go in there. You need to probably leave, because they're looking for someone to blame, and that's going to be you, and you're going to take the blame. We know how this works. But the Bible says that Paul had some friends there that said, this is not what's good for you, Paul. You need to go somewhere else. You can't be here. Paul had some friends. We can read about King David in the Old Testament. King David had some friends. In 2 Samuel chapter number 16, there's a counselor there. And his name's Hushai, and he's called the friend of David by David's own enemies. His own enemies say, hey, Hushai, what kind of friend are you? David's gone. You didn't go with your friend? What kind of friend are you? They knew who David's friends were. David had some friends. Yes, he was a king. Yes, I'm sure a lot of people were wanting to be his friend because there was something to gain. But the Bible says that David had some friends. Jesus Christ, in John chapter number 11, calls Lazarus his friend. It was his friend. In John 15, he calls his disciples. He says, ye are my friends. My friends. Jesus Christ himself, even though he had a purpose and a mission in his life, he came to seek and to save those that were lost. He came to lay his life down for the sin of the world. But in his walk, in his life, he had some friends. He had some friends. God the Father. Why would he need a friend? He's God the Father. God the Father, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 41, he says, Abraham, my friend. My friend. James chapter number 2 says, Abraham was called the friend of God. The friend of God. Even God the Father said he had a friend in Abraham. A friend is simply someone whom you have mutual respect and affection for each other. It's mutual. And in Abraham, or God found a friend in Abraham. I'd say if even God found a friend in Abraham, then we should probably have some friends. We should probably have some. There was a father and a son for this next joke. There was a father and a son, and they were walking down the river walk, and they had come to a bridge, a large bridge that was going over the river, and there's some police officers there, and the father says, you know, officer, what's going on here? And he says, someone last night jumped off the bridge into the river, and we're coming through the river here to, you know, try to find the body. And the son says, well, Dad, why would somebody jump off the bridge? And he said, well, son, I don't really know. He said, you know, perhaps he didn't have any money. Perhaps he didn't have any friends. And he felt lonely. Maybe that's why. And his son said, well, he's not going to find any money or friends in the river. You know, we can look at, is that a little too dark for you? I don't know. Seems like it didn't quite get the same reaction that, all right, sorry. Might not have been your cup of tea, but we'll move on. All right, we'll keep going. Don't let it ruin the whole thing. All right. We can look in some strange places for friends if we're not careful. We can look out in the world and we can look all over the place for some friends that we can attach ourselves to. And we can learn from the scriptures as well. We can certainly attach ourselves to some wrong friends. We can do that. In 2 Samuel chapter number 13, there's a story of Amnon. Amnon was King David's son. And Amnon wasn't walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden the Bible says that he falls in lust with his own sister. And he had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And this friend Jonadab, the Bible says that he was subtle. And Jonadab, what's he do? He helps devise a plan with Amnon where he could be with his own sister. That's not the kind of friend you want. That's not the kind of friend you want. After passing Jesus Christ back and forth before his crucifixion, the Bible says in Luke 23:12, and the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Pilate and Herod, when they're taking Jesus Christ and trying to find out what's wrong with them, and Pilate's using his soldiers to beat him and scourge Christ and sends him back to Pilate and says, we can't really find anything wrong with this guy, but do whatever you want to with him. The Bible says because of that, because of their torture and eventual crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they became friends. That's not the kind of friend you want to make. That's not the kind of friend you want to attach yourself to. I read another saying that says, false friends are like a shadow. They cling to us in the sunshine, but leave us the minute we go into the shade. There are some false friends we can attach ourselves to in this life, and we should pay attention to that, and we should know that's not what we should do. The Bible says in verse number 24 of chapter 18 of Proverbs, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The best way to have good friends in this life is to be a good friend. Is to be a good friend. And so I want to go over some things this morning and talk about a good friend. A good friend. I'd like to say this firstly. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 27. We're going to stick in Proverbs this morning, so it'll just be a few pages back and forth. Proverbs 27. Let's look in verse number 17. Proverbs 27:17. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. I like to say, firstly, about a good friend, is a good friend helps you be a better Christian. A good friend helps you be a better Christian. A good friend brings out your best when you're with them. And that's a good gauge. That's a good gauge about the types of friends that you should have and the types of friend that you should be. A good friend brings out your best when you're with them. Why? Because friends will influence you. Friends will influence you. It's been said before that if you show me your three best friends, I'll tell you about you. All you have to do is just take a person, show me their three best friends, and you'll know a lot about them. Why? Because friends influence each other. Now, I'm not talking about social media friends, all right? Or social media individuals that call themselves influencers, all right? And it's true. someone posting random thoughts or pictures on a social media website influences people. But it does. I mean, you would think at some point we should be a little bit above that, but we're not. we're not. And so this whole idea, I mean, there are some friends on social media that you should probably get rid of and stop following them if they don't bring out the best in you as a Christian. Well, I don't care. You're going to have to realize in this life there's some people you're going to have to separate from in order to be what you should be, in order to be what the Lord wants you to be. But as far as people, as far as real friends, it shouldn't be harder to live for God when you're around your friends. It shouldn't be more difficult to talk about the Lord when you're around your closest friends. It shouldn't be more difficult to have a right conversation and have your thoughts on the things of the Lord and to be able to have a good time without being constantly guarded. You know what it's like when you're around the world, when you're maybe at the workplace, when you're around maybe certain extended family members, and you're, oh man, you got to be careful because the conversation could go sideways at any time and you don't want to lose your testimony and you just kind of have to feel guarded all the time. You shouldn't have to do that when you're around your friends. Why? Because your friends should help you be a better Christian. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 11 says, make no friendship with an angry man. There's some things in the scriptures where we can know there are some types of individuals that we shouldn't make our closest friends. Now, when we talk about this, hopefully you understand, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be friendly. All right? I'm not saying that you shouldn't go outside of these doors and then instantly, you know, have just, don't talk to me. You shouldn't be my friend. It doesn't mean that we can't be friendly. I'm saying the people that we spend our time with, the people that we're encouraged from, the people that we consider our closest friends, they should help you be a better Christian. And when you're around others, you should make them be a better Christian. There's certain individuals when I'm around, I just know that, man, I got to be on my best behavior. Say, what does that mean? Are you always on your worst behavior? Well, no. But I know when I'm here, I got to be on my best behavior. Why? Because you expect me to be on my best behavior. Right? You expect me not to tell dark jokes. All right? Dragging bodies from the ground in a little boy's joke. This doesn't even make sense. You expect him to be on my best. I'm a better Christian when I'm here at church. I am. I'm a better Christian when I'm here at church. And I hope you are. I hope church is a place where you can come and you can know that you're amongst people who are trying to serve God and do the right thing and go in the right direction. And you can have a conversation. Maybe you meet somebody for the first time or someone that you've talked to many times. And you can strike up a conversation in church. And you can know, you can be confident that things aren't going to go sideways. Why? Because we're here trying to serve the Lord. And your closest friends, they should be trying to help you be a better Christian. Do you make your friends better? Do you make your friends better? I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you're a good friend. I hope you're not the type of friend where other Christians trying to serve God say, uh-oh, here they come. We don't know what's going to happen. Boy, I don't want to be drugged down. I'm encouraged in the Lord today. I don't want to be brought down. I hope you're someone that tries to bring out the best in other Christians as well. But that's what a good friend does. A good friend helps you be a better Christian. I like to say this. Secondly, turn to Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17, 17. 17, 17, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, I know the joke's around this verse, right? A brother is born for adversity. No, it's not born to cause adversity, all right? Although it might seem that way with family members. But a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for when adversity comes. They're the ones that are supposed to stand by you. And a friend loveth at all times. I'd like to say that a good friend, it's easy, I took it right from the verse, loveth at all times. A good friend loveth at all times. A quote about friends says this: everyone should have a large cemetery in which to bury the faults of his friends. To bury the faults of his friends. Listen, you and I were not always lovable, but a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. There's going to be days where you're at your best, and there's going to be days where you're not quite at your best. There's going to be days where you have everything in order and everything, you're right on top of everything. And then there's days where the bottom might be falling out and it seems like everything you're saying is the wrong thing to say. You're going to have days like that. But you know what a friend does? A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loves not only when it's convenient or there's something to gain, but a friend is there when it's inconvenient. A friend is there when it's inconvenient. Why? That's what friends do. That's what friends are. That's what friends should be. A good friend. I'll have correspondence occasionally with some individuals, some of my friends, and I'll have a correspondence and they'll say something, I'm sorry for just dumping all this on you. And I'll say, hey, isn't this kind of what friends do? Right? Isn't this kind of what friends are for? The real friends are the ones you shouldn't have to apologize for not being at your best. Why? Because they love at all times. And they say, that's all right. You know what friends do? Friends that loveth at all times, they give the benefit of the doubt. And that's hard to come by these days. People that'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Because, like I said, we're not always at our best. And sometimes we're at our worst. And sometimes we say things we regret and we don't mean it. And under normal circumstances, we would never say that. Anyone a friend does, a friend understands that. And a friend loveth at all times. And a friend says, you know what? They didn't mean that. That's not what they would normally do. And if you're trying to serve the Lord and you're trying to live for God, oftentimes you go back to that friend when you're the one that did it, and you say, listen, I shouldn't have said that. That was just, I'm sorry. I was blown off steam, and I did it in the wrong way, and I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. It might even have been against them. It might even have been against you or maybe against somebody else. I shouldn't have done it. And a good friend says, it's all right. I understand. I understand. That's why I'd never repeat it, because I know you didn't mean it, and I know you weren't at your best. And that's okay. But a friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. A friend is there in adversity as well. A friend is someone that's there to be able to understand who you are. And that's a good friend. You can't find a lot of friends like that. And a lot of the friends you think you have, when something like this is tested, you find out who your real friends are. And sometimes you say, all right, well, I need to shrink my friend circle down a little bit if this is going on. But a good friend loveth at all times. And how good of a friend are you in being able to know someone's faults and see someone's faults and see someone's failures and say, you know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. People are so quick to just jump on something. It's like for some reason we want all of our friends to give us the benefit of the doubt, but then when someone else does something, we just want to kind of destroy them to somebody else. Did you know this? Did you hear about this? Did you know that somebody said this thing? And we need to be careful with that. And if you're one that's quick to run and tell somebody else about somebody else, you're not being a good friend. I'm not talking about condoning sin, okay? I'm not talking about standing beside someone when they're 100% in the wrong and when something bad's happening. I'm not talking about those things. I'm just talking about a friend that loveth at all times. And that's a good friend. That's a good friend. I'd like to add to that Proverbs chapter number 27. Let's go back there. Proverbs 27. Thirdly, I'd like to say a good friend is honest and truthful. A good friend is honest and truthful. Proverbs 27, verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A good friend is trying to help you be a better Christian. A good friend that loves at all times. You know what that good friend will do? Occasionally, it'll wound a friend when needed. It'll wound a friend when needed. Now, don't get me wrong. All right? It should be more love than wounds. Right? It should be more love than wounds, but occasionally a good friend will be honest and truthful, even when we don't want to hear it. That's a good friend. That's a good friend. It says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but it seems like a lot of people just want kisses nowadays. They just want kisses and hugs. They just want affirmation for every decision that they could ever possibly make. They just want someone to be by them to say, "You're great, and you're the best, and I'm here for you no matter what. And whatever you think, whatever you decide to do, I'm just here for you. I'm just a cheerleader for you. I'm just going to clap, give me some pom-poms, and I'll just rah-rah you in everything that you do, in every decision, every thought that you have, everything that you say. I'm just here to be like, yay." That's not a good friend. It's not a good friend. Doesn't make a good friend. Doesn't make a good parent. It doesn't make a good husband or wife. It doesn't make a good pastor. A cheerleader all the time. That's not a good friend. All the time. That's not a good friend. A friend loveth at all times. Don't confuse me. But a good friend is honest and truthful. Honest and truthful. A good friend talks to you, not about you. Talks to you. Hey, listen, boy, I love you. And I was willing to put aside some of the things that you had said and that you had done because that's not really you. But now it's been going on for a while, and it seems like this is now you. And can we talk about it? Because I want what's best for you. And I love you. And there's some things where it appears, can you talk to me about this? Can I hear you out about this thing? And we can make sure we're going in the right direction. That's what a real friend does. That's what a good friend does. A good friend talks to you, not about you. Someone once said, a friend is one who comes in when the whole world runs out. Someone that comes in when everybody else is ready to leave. That's what a friend is. And listen, sometimes the wounds, sometimes you have to be the one willing to be a good friend in order to wound somebody. And let me speak by experience. Sometimes you can wound a friend and they'll reject that. They might even reject you. And I would rather try to be a good friend and run the risk of losing a friend by sometimes being truthful and honest than just keep some fake, false thing where you know in your heart you're not really friends anyway. Because if I'm trying to be a good friend and they're being a good friend to me, then they're also loving me at all times. And they're also going to be able to understand where I'm trying to come from, being a good friend. Why? Because you're friends. That's what I mean. This term friends has been reduced to nothingness. But the Bible puts a pretty high price on the term, friends. Psalm chapter 141, verse 5. You don't have to turn there. David says, "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil." That's what David says. He says, let the righteous, let someone that's righteous and trying to serve the Lord and follow God, let him smite me. He says, it shall be a kindness to me. And David knew something about that. Why? Because Nathan the prophet is one of his friends. Nathan the prophet, after David messed up and did some dumb things, Nathan the prophet came and told him a story. And David got all worked up about the story because somebody was being unkind to somebody else and taking stuff that was theirs, even though they had plenty of it for themselves. And David said, I can't believe that guy would do this. He says, he has to repay fourfold. And David, or Nathan the prophet, his friend, looks at him and says, thou art the man. He says, that's what you've done, David. And say, what did David do? Did he cut off Nathan? He could have. Did he tell him to get out of here? You're not going to be a counselor or a prophet and stand in front of me. Get out of here. You're not going to tell me, the king, what to do. I thought you were my friend. No, he didn't do that. He went and got right with God. He went and got right with God, and he said, man, I messed up. And Nathan says, yeah, God knows you messed up. And God knows your heart of repentance. I'm glad you're getting this thing right. And guess what? They stayed friends. And when David had some more problems, he says, bring Nathan to me. Bring Nathan. Why? Because he's a real friend. He's a good friend. When I needed it, he stood up in my face and said, you're the guy that's messing up. You're the king. You should know better. And David said, that's my friend right there. That's my friend. You have to be willing to be a good friend. And you should want to try. You should want to find some good friends. You should want to find some good friends. A good friend is honest and truthful. I'd like to say this also, same chapter, Proverbs 27, verse number 9. 27, verse number 9. The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. I like to say this, fourthly, a good friend gives godly counsel. Gives godly counsel. That's what a good friend does. When you're trying to figure out what to do and what the next step is, and you're not sure how to go about things, and you're not sure what to do, a good friend gives godly counsel. You know what you should be able to do with a good friend? You should be able to pray over things together. That's what you should be able to do with a good friend. A good friend. You should be able to call a good friend and say, listen, will you pray about this with me? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about this thing. I'm leaning this way. I'm doing this other thing. Would you pray about this with me? A good friend, you should be able to pray over things together. A good friend should be a friend that's spiritual, one that's willing to give biblical counsel. Biblical tells you what the right thing is to do, not just agree with what you want to do. Well, what do you think I should do in this case? This is what I'm thinking to do, and this is how I have it all figured out. This is what I want to accomplish, and I'm going to go this direction and do this thing. And some people are looking for someone to say, yeah, you should do that. I mean, there's kings in the Old Testament that that's what they were looking for from their prophets. These prophets, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, would get together, and they were going to go fight some battles, and Jehoshaphat is king of Judah, and he's serving the Lord, and he goes up, and he's hanging out with Ahab, and that's the wrong friends. He's hanging out with Ahab, and Ahab talks about look, I have all these prophets, and these prophets all get together, and they're saying, go fight in the battle, and God's going to bring you the victory. And they're all just, yay, and Ahab's like, yeah, let's do it, let's go fight, we're gonna win. And the king of Judah says, is there not like a prophet of the Lord here anywhere? These guys are nice and they serve your purpose, I guess. But is there a prophet of the Lord anywhere? And Ahab says, yeah, there's one, but I hate him. He's mean to me. He always says negative stuff. He's always mean to me. And he says, well, come on, it can't be that bad. Bring him on. And so they go and they get Micaiah. And it's a great story in the Bible. I love the story in the Bible. They go get Micaiah and they go down. They know right where to find him. They go down and find Micaiah. And the king's men come down and say, okay, Micaiah and I are going to come up and the king's going to ask you some questions. Could you please just answer like everybody else? Can you please, for once, just go along with what the king wants? And Micaiah says, I can only answer what the Lord wants me to answer. That's what I can do. Says, all right, come on up. And they come up, and the king says, should we go down? All the other prophets say we should go down to battle. Should we go down? And the prophet says, do whatever you want. Have fun. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. What did the Lord say? The Lord says, you go down there, you're going to die. And let me tell you what else happened. These other guys you have running around here, the Lord's up in heaven saying, how can I deceive this king of Israel? And a spirit says, I'll go, and I'll be a lying spirit in all these other prophets' mouths, and they'll deceive the king of Israel. And who are these guys? These guys are just a bunch of liars. Well, he was making friends quick. And one of the big shot prophets come up and smacks him in the face and says, yeah, tell me what kind of spirit I have. And Micaiah says, you'll find out. When you're hiding from the enemy who's come for you, you'll find out what kind of prophet you are. And they say, I don't like this prophet. Get him out of here. We're going down to battle. I'll deal with you when I get back. That's what the king says. And Micaiah says, you come back at all, I'm not a prophet of the Lord. And off he goes. Say, wow, that guy sounds like trouble. That sounds like a guy I don't want to be around. That sounds like a guy that'll tell you the truth. You know what Micaiah sounds like? He sounds like a good friend. Might be a little grouchy, but he sounds like a good friend. A good friend. Why? Because a good friend gives godly counsel. Gives godly counsel. Proverbs chapter number 19 says, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That shall stand. There are some times when you might be intending to do something for the Lord. You might be intending to make a right decision, but you can't see it straight. And if you have some good friends, they're going to come and let you know, listen, I'm not sure. The Bible would say this. This should happen instead. Why? It's good counsel. It's godly counsel. It's spiritual counsel. If you don't have some good friends that can give you some spiritual counsel, some godly counsel, you should find some. You should find some and have a good friend. And I'd like to say this lastly. Proverbs 27, verse number 10. The Bible says this, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. You know what a good friend, doesn't give up. A good friend doesn't give up on a friendship. It doesn't just leave and throw in the towel and say, all right, whatever. A good friend takes friendship seriously. I know loyalties kind of can maybe go a little bit too far, and there's sometimes when you have good friends, and there's sometimes you have to end those friendships for good reason. I understand that. There are times that happens. But when you're able to find a good friend, and you're able to be a good friend, and you're able to serve God together and go forward together and have a friendship, a good friend doesn't give up. A good friend doesn't give up. Friendships can be tricky. Friendships can be rocky at times. But good friends are faithful friends. That's a better way of putting it. They're faithful friends. There is a saying that says old friends are best. Old friends. Why? Why? Because an old friend is someone who's a friendship that's been tested. A friendship that's been tried. A friendship that is true. That's an old friend. An old friend. An old friend is a friend that you've been through some things with, and you're still friends to the glory of God. You've been through the ups and the downs, the good times and the bad times. You've been through the disagreements and the arguments. You've been through the times when a good friend has tried to wound you and you didn't want to take the wound. There's been times when you've tried to be a good friend and give them godly counsel and they didn't want godly counsel. But the friendships lasted. Why? Because of good friends being a good friend. And learning about that and understanding what that means. Understanding that a good friend can't be found around every corner. A good friend can't be found in every single relationship that you have. A good friend has some parameters to it, and you go through something, and you find out who a good friend is. And it's the parameters of the Bible, not what we think about it in the moment. Well, they're not a good friend because they don't agree with me. Oh, sometimes a best friend won't agree with you. On purpose, because they're trying to be a good friend. Many of you have much life experience with friends, and you understand what I'm saying to be true. You know it to be true. Sometimes younger people, they have to figure it out. Younger people seem to be ready to drop a friend at any moment because they think there's a good friend right around the corner. And you get older and you find out that's not true. That's not true. And sometimes you ruin the relationships of a good friend, and it's worth going back and fixing it. Because you realize, well, I did have a good friend. That was a good friend to me. And it's worth doing. It's worth fixing it up. Look back in Proverbs 18:24 again. Proverbs 18:24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Do you have some good friends? I hope you do. You have some good friends? Everybody's sitting in here now, they're all thinking about their friends. Are they good or are they not good? I hope you have some good friends. How are you doing as a friend? How are you at being the friend? Are you doing good there? Or are you letting your friend down? You might be. You might be. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't want to forget to leave this part out. The Bible says it, and you know it to be true. If you're saved and born again as a Christian, you always have a friend in the Lord. You always have a friend in the Lord. Psalm 27 says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I mean, a father and a mother, those are supposed to be people that aren't going to forsake us. But when they do, it says the Lord will take me up. Man, I had some good friends, but I found out they're not good friends. Now the Lord will take you up. The Lord will take you up. Well, I went through this situation, and now I just found myself alone. I found myself having nothing. The Lord will take you up. The Lord will take you up. You don't have to ever worry in this life about not having a friend. The song says, I have found a friend in Jesus. I have found a friend in Jesus. Sometimes there's things in life where it's difficult. Sometimes we're standing alone because the Lord wants us to stand alone. But we're not alone. He's with us. He's with us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. There's been times in this life where I thought I've had some good friends and I found out they weren't that interested in being my friend. There's been times in this life where I thought I was a good friend to somebody else and I wasn't a good friend to somebody else. And because of my own mistakes, no thanks. Don't want to be your friend anymore. Things happen in this life. And decisions need to be made and important decisions and things happen and people that you thought were there standing with you, they're not standing with you anymore. But the Lord's never forsaken me. The Lord's never forsaken me. The Lord's the one that's there to say, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. Why? Because he's a good friend. Not just a savior, he's a good friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that loves at all times. Lord, I'm at my worst. Lord says, I love you. I can forgive you. I will forgive you. That's a good friend. A good friend in the Lord. He's the best friend. He's the best friend we could ever have. He's the best example of a friend, and when I'm being a bad friend, I can just look at how the Lord treats me and say, I need to be more of a friend like the Lord is to me. and we can learn a lot about it. A good friend helps you be a better Christian. A good friend loveth at all times. A good friend is honest and truthful. A good friend gives godly counsel. A good friend doesn't give up easily. They're faithful. They're faithful. You have some good friends. It's worth debating and putting your best friends up to the list. It's good to do that. Because there's some of you probably with some friends you've been holding on to for a long time, and they're probably not the type of friends you should be spending all your time with. Why? Not if you're trying to serve the Lord. Not if you're trying to go forward. Why have your best friends hold you back from serving the Lord if you're trying to serve God? It doesn't make any sense. Maybe some of you haven't been a good friend. Maybe some of you have been too afraid to give godly counsel. You've been too afraid to wound a friend. You think that by keeping your mouth shut that you're loving at all times, but you're not. You're not. A good friend is there at all times. A good friend doesn't give up on friendships that easily. Maybe you let some good friends kind of slide and they end up disappearing off the radar, and you just say, I don't want that to happen. I need to go make sure my friend, the Bible talks about that in the book of Proverbs, making surety your friend. Hey, are we, you go and make sure that it's your friendship's established. And it's good to think about those things. It's good to think about our friends. Why? Because we need them. I need my friends. I need the closest friends I have in this world. I can call them about anything. And I can talk to them about anything. Why? Because they're my friend. And they're going to give it to me straight. You've heard that. Give it to me straight. And that's good. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer this morning. As the piano plays, I want us to just take a moment to just to consider the message, consider our own relationships, consider our own friends, consider those that we are a friend to, our part, our responsibility in the friendship. Maybe there's some friendships that are broken that you need to mend, you need to fix. Maybe there's a situation you've been thinking of while I've been preaching, and you say, boy, that's a good friend. I need to fix that situation. Maybe you did something. Maybe somebody did something to you, and you want to get it right and get it settled and get it handled. Don't put that off. Don't put anything off like that. Get stuff right with God. Get stuff right with each other. Maybe you realize you need to go home, make a phone call to a friend, or a good friend. Disagreements and things, they happen. They can happen in our friend groups. They can happen in our families. They can happen amongst church members. Maybe you just need to reach out to some friends and say, hey, love you. Love you. Why? A friend loveth at all times. Maybe you just reach out to some friends and say, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for the godly counsel. Thank you for loving me when I'm at my worst. Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for standing with me so that I can be the best Christian I can be. Those are good friends. Lord, thank you for being my friend. Lord, thank you for being the greatest example of a friend in your love and in your counsel, in your long-suffering and patience, and being truthful and honest. Thank you, Lord, for the communion of your Holy Spirit, and continuing to encourage and continuing to rebuke when needed, continuing to have fellowship with me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that I would be a good friend. And Lord, thank you for the friend that you've given me. Thank you for the good friends that you've given me in this life and in the ministry. And Lord, you've been good to me. And Lord, I pray from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, that we would think about our friends and think about who we're allowing to influence us, and Lord, making sure we have the right friends, making sure that we're the right friend to others. Thank you for giving us the scriptures and understanding this term friend that's been brought down to such a low level, Lord, that it does mean something. And Lord, allow us to be thankful for our friends and uphold our end of the bargain. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray you bless the afternoon. Lord, you'd be with those that are here this morning. And Lord, you just continue to speak to our hearts, continue to be a comfort in time of need. Thank you for dying on the cross for us and saving our souls from hell. Thank you for offering salvation as a free gift. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to rejoice in you and sing praises unto you and thank you with a smile on our face and some joy in our hearts for what you've done for us. Lord, bless now. Bring us back tonight so we can open up the scriptures and learn more from your word about what you have for us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you. You are dismissed.